Well, happy Sabbath. That was a beautiful job. I'd like to thank the choir doing such a wonderful job. Every selection that they've have sung for us so far has been very beautiful. Well, I do hope everyone is having a most wonderful feast. Oh, wow. Sorry you have to look at that up close. But I do hope it has been an uplifting feast thus far. It is a very beautiful location, I'll say that. This is our family's first time to be here. I think I mentioned that on the day that I led hymns. But at home, we don't have trees like you have here. Our trees go pretty much from green to dead. That's it. And we've enjoyed the spectacular colors for sure. They've gone from just a little bit of color to HD. It's beautiful. It really is. Well, here we are enjoying a Sabbath during the Feast of Tabernacles, a time of rest, a time of reflection, remembrance, and learning. What better place to keep and enjoy the Sabbath than right here at the Feast of Tabernacles? The Sabbath is a time for us, of course, to rest from our everyday routines. We know that. We are to stop doing what we would normally do. God has told us, for 6 days you shall labor. 6 days. But the seventh day is a rest. A day of rest is what it says. Jesus Christ told us that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, we're to stop doing our own things on the Sabbath. At the feast, different, right? Yes, we're not doing the things that we normally would do, but we are still to stop doing. We are to stop doing our own things, such as going shopping today, doing activities that can be done at any other time during the feast, except with the exception of the holy days. As you will notice, I brought my planner up here, Mr. Epps. But in the middle, where he was at, you'll notice that on the Sabbath, there are no activities as far as like New York City tours, any type of dancing instruction, anything like that. The Jonah Show, that doesn't happen. They didn't have anything like that in the schedule. No things were planned during the Sabbath except for the Sabbath school, with the exception of the children's choir that'll be practicing. We did have a Bible study yesterday evening, very proper. Wonderful thing to have as the Sabbath is approaching. And after sunset, Mr. Epps brought this out, that 7:30 they wanted to move the time to give people more chance to set up, and that way it wouldn't interfere with the ending of the Sabbath. But nothing at all was scheduled during the Sabbath. The day was set apart as a special day. Why? Well, first of all, the Sabbath is very special to God. The Sabbath is very special to God, and what is special to God should be very special to us. It should be. So what better day and what better setting to discuss the Sabbath? What better place to discuss the Sabbath than right here and right now? And if you haven't already figured it out, we are going to talk and look at the subject of the Sabbath this afternoon. But I believe we may look at it in a way that maybe we hadn't thought about in quite a while. Today, we're going to discuss our zeal for the Sabbath. Why? Because the way we treat and keep the Sabbath is telling of our zeal and our desire in seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness. So my title for the message this afternoon in the split sermon is, Our Sabbath Keeping Equals Our Desire for the Kingdom. Our Sabbath Keeping Equals Our Desire for the Kingdom. So let's start off in Genesis 2. Genesis 2 shouldn't be too hard to find right in the front of the book. Genesis 2, verse 1, Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. They were all finished. All 6 days of creation. And it says, On the seventh day God ended His work, which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. He set it apart. He made it holy. Because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. The Sabbath, we see right here, was created by God. That this day should help us and make us stop and think about our Creator. The very Creator who created us, gives us the very air that we breathe. He sustains life. He created life. The wonders that He's created, the magnificence of the universe, and all the galaxies that are out there, that what are they for? I don't know. But it is amazing. It says we'll inherit all things. The intricate flowers and the plants, the beautiful trees that we have around here, the birds. I know I've seen a lot of deer, seen a lot of, I don't know what you call them, but they're red-headed ducks. Maybe they call them red-headed ducks, I don't know. But anyhow, they're pretty. They really are. He made us. He created us in His image. And the plan that He has bestowed, that He's shown us, these are the things that we need to stop and we need to think about on His Sabbath day. Exodus 20, not too far away. Exodus 20. God spoke to Moses the commandments that He wanted to be given to the children of Israel. God had chosen a special people. In Exodus 20, verse 8, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." To keep it holy. We'll look at that here in a little bit. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day, 6 days you have, they're yours. But the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord, is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. No one, nothing within your gates. For in 6 days, it says, and we looked at this just a little bit ago, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day. He blessed it, and He hallowed it. He set it apart. He made it holy. God told the people that He had chosen, His special people, His special people, to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. This day was set apart at creation. It was something that was instituted long before God gave the children of Israel the Ten Commandments. He wanted them to set aside this day as special. That's what it says here. He wanted them to understand that this day was not like every other day. You have 6 days. And He even showed them that with the manna. He said, for 6 days you can take one, you pick up one omer and don't keep it overnight. If you do, it will spoil. And guess what? Some of them did it. It spoiled. But then on Friday, the sixth day, He said, take two omers and keep it overnight. And guess what? When they had it the next morning, it was nice and crispy. And it was nice. It did not ruin. He was trying to teach them something. Let's go to Deuteronomy 5. There's something else. Deuteronomy 5. We're laying the groundwork here for where we're going. Deuteronomy 5. In verse 15. Something expounded on. Verse 15, it is said, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. This is what He's talking about in the Sabbath command. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. God brings out that He wanted them to stop and reflect, to remember on the freedom that had been granted to them. The freedom that God had granted to them. That He had freed them from bondage. He had freed them from slavery, the grip of Pharaoh. They've been freed from the oppression of being a slave. They've been given a new life. And they were on their way to a promised land. A land of plenty. A land free, a free from bondage of slavery and free from oppression. They were on their way. God was giving them rest. He was. Israel, we said this a bit ago, was God's chosen people, His special people, chosen over all the nations of the earth. And we know where that promise originated. We know that. These slaves, who were slaves, they were nothing to the people of Egypt. They were nothing in the sight of any of the other nations. and especially Egypt. God brought them out with a high hand. He obliterated Egypt, totally destroyed them. He went out and he gave them his laws, his statutes, and his Sabbaths. He was blessing them and leading them to a promised and wonderful land. They had everything going for them. Everything going for them. But there's always a but. Let's go to Numbers. Let's go to Numbers 13. Numbers 13, about a year in, send 12 men to go spy out the land of Canaan. And when they returned, in verse 25, from spying out the land after 40 days, now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and said to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Look how great this land is that God has taken us to. They had told them, when we went into the land where you sent us, it truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land, they're strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell in the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. And Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once. Let us go up against the people, for they are..." He says, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Had something else in their mind, for sure. But the men who had gone up and said to him, with him, said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And then it says in verse 1 and 14, all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not have been better for us to return to Egypt?" They had a doubt. They had a doubt. Not only did they doubt God would deliver them, they lacked a vision. They lacked a vision. They hadn't heeded God's commands. And what happened? We see in verse 26 what happened. The verse of chapter 14, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, 'How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, As I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness, and all you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in.'" They weren't allowed to go in to that promised land, those who were 20 and above. Why? Because they hadn't heeded God's commands. What was it that they were to do every Sabbath? Yes, they were told, keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. It was a set apart day. But they are also to remember from where they came. Where they came and who brought them out. And where God was leading them. They were to remember that. Ezekiel, if we go back to Ezekiel, he was inspired to write something. Let's go back to Ezekiel 20. This is right in the same thread of what we're talking about. Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20 in verse 10. Ezekiel 20:10. "Therefore I made them go out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness, and I gave them my statutes, showed them my judgments, which if a man does, says he shall live by them. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths." I gave them my Sabbaths to be what? "A sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. It's a strong word. Rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments. And then again it says, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they greatly defiled my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. But I acted for my name's sake that I should not be profaned before the Gentiles in whose sight I had brought them out. So I also raised my hand in an oath to them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all lands. Because they despised my judgments and did not walk in my statutes, but profaned or polluted, defiled my Sabbaths. And then it says, for their heart went after their idols. The children of Israel, says right here, rebelled against God. And they did not keep God's statutes, his judgments, and they defiled his holy Sabbath. That's what it says. They became hardened by sin. They became hardened by sin and they forgot. They forgot. They forgot and they profaned God's holy Sabbath. This is named as part of the rebellion. It is named as part of the rebellion as profaning God's holy Sabbath. They did things that were more important to them, they thought. They thought that were more important. Their thoughts were on themselves and what they wanted, not on what God had desired for them and wanted for them. Their desires became very evident. Their desire and zeal were not for the things of God. And because of this, they were not able to enter that promised land. So why do I bring up the example of the children of Israel? Well, what does it say in 1 Corinthians 10:11? What did Paul say? He said this, he says these things happened to them as examples for us, written for our instruction upon whom the fulfillment of these days are upon. That's what they're written for. For our instruction, they're written for our examples. So let's go to Hebrews then. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 3. This has been touched upon a couple times already, this feast. Hebrews 3. In verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, whom we are, God has set apart, partakers of the heavenly calling. Consider means behold, observe carefully, the apostle and the high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. Who did God use to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses. Moses was also, it says, faithful in his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Here we had the writer of this, who we think to be Paul, but we aren't sure, but he's talking to Jews who have converted to Christianity. And he says, for this one has been counted worthy of much more of more glory. They had put Moses up on a pedestal. And it says, more glory than Moses, inasmuch he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful, it says, in his house. He was faithful in the things that God had asked him to do, to lead the children out of Egypt, to lead Israel out of Egypt. Why would he lead them out of Israel? But it says, Moses was indeed faithful for a testimony, a declaration of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house, it says, we are. We are a part of that spiritual house. If we, it says, hold fast, there's an if in there, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Mr. Johnson did a beautiful job explaining that hope last night. Then he goes on to say, therefore, or so then, kind of a future looking. If it was looking behind, it would say because. But it says, so then, as the Holy Spirit says, as it has been inspired, it says today, today, this day, if you will hear his voice, he's talking about right now. He's talking to them at that point right then. This is for us right now. This day, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. Remember the rebellion that we just talked about? In the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years, therefore I was angry with that generation and said they always go astray in their heart. Their heart was not on the things of God. And they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. And then he goes on to say, beware, brethren, take heed, think about this, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another, encourage one another daily while it is still called this day, today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin as they were. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said this day, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And Moses was a very faithful man. It said that in verse 2. Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in. Why? Because of unbelief. And then he goes on to say, therefore, so then, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Be stirred to action. Right here, we see what happened to the children of Israel. He brings that out. But what he's saying is, this can happen to us. It can happen to you and to me. If we disregard God's statutes, his commandments, his holy Sabbath, and we seek our own things and our own ways, we can spiritually rebel against God. We can spiritually rebel against God, and then it says, we will not enter that rest. This rest in the Greek is katapausis, and it means a resting place, an abode. What is God's resting place? His dwelling. It's where God dwells. It's where his kingdom's at. Right now, it's not established here. What are we to inherit? The kingdom. We are. And doesn't God's Holy Spirit dwell in us? 1 Corinthians 3:6, do you not know that you are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you? That down payment of eternal life? Can we lose it? Absolutely. We can. Hebrews 4, verse 2, just moving on, it says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. And Mr. Johnson went over that last night as well, where our faith must be established to even have that hope. He says, for we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Unbelief will leave us out. It will leave us out of the kingdom. And this goes on to say, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, The rest was established from the foundation of the world. In Genesis 2, 1 through 3, what does it not say? What does it not say there? All the other days, the first 6 days, it says the morning and the evening was the fourth day. The morning and the evening was the first day. The morning and the evening was the sixth day. Doesn't say that about the seventh. That rest that all mankind one day will have the opportunity, the rest that one day that we, when the trumpet sounds and those in Christ will rise, that rest is eternal. It is perpetual. And it never ends. And one day, all humanity, those who choose to live that way of life, it will be forever. That dwelling will be with God. Mr. Franks brought that out. It will be always. Verse 6, it says, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, it is still yet to come. And those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. And that was that physical promised land. We're looking for that kingdom that is spirit and it is of God. Again, it says, he designates a certain day, saying in David. David was inspired to write today, this day, after such a long time. All those years, hundreds of years, after the children of Israel had already gone into the promised land. It is said, this day, if you will hear his voice and do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There then remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. Yes, there remains a rest, but this rest right here is not katapausis. It's sabbatismos. It is sabbatismos, and it literally means a Sabbath keeping. There is a Sabbath keeping for the people of God. Why? And we'll get into that in a second. There remains that Sabbath keeping for the people of God. And it is there. It is there for us to refocus our minds, to refocus our lives, for us to get our minds fixed on what it needs to be on. Thinking about what we have ceased from, physically and spiritually. Physically, it's the day-to-day activities. Spiritually, the way of life we are to be living and to reflect on what we were saved from. We have to think about those things that God had saved us from, just like he did with the children of Israel. And we have to think about what is to come. There is much to come. There is. And you know, those of us who have God's Holy Spirit and have made that commitment to God should follow him in all things. All things. He has given us the Spirit, and like I said a little while ago, we are sealed for that day to enter that eternal rest. His kingdom, where God dwells. Where he dwells. See, this Sabbath day is a sign of God's called out ones. It is that sign. You can go back to Exodus 31 and see that, verse 16 and 17. This is for his elect, his soon delivered family. Right now, we're in an embryo form. We are. We're in an embryo form. I know Mr. Armstrong talked about that many years ago. But we will be revealed at that sound of the seventh trumpet at Christ's return. We will then enter that eternal rest. And what was brought out in this first split, we then have a job to do. We don't get to sit underneath that vine and fig tree. We will enter that eternal rest. This Sabbath day is very special to God because it not only represents the birth of his family, it is also the time when man as a whole will have true rest. Man as a whole will have true rest, and you can look at all the evils that are going on in this world, and this world is chaotic. This world is hurting. This world needs something desperately needs something. They need a change of heart. They need a change of thinking. They need a change of life. And they're going to get it. And it's going to be an amazing rest. They're not all going to get it at first, but whenever Satan's hand is pulled off and that, I don't know, Satan's, the prince and power of the air, has its spell over all mankind, who's deceived all humanity, deceives the whole world, when that's taken away, how amazing that is going to be. The rest that's going to come. They will learn the ways of God, and they will desire to live by His commandments. And they will keep His statutes, they'll keep His judgments, and they will keep His Sabbaths, His holy Sabbaths. That's what we're here picturing during this Feast of Tabernacles. It's what we're celebrating, the establishment of God's kingdom on this earth and the millennial reign of Jesus Christ and us, His saints. What an amazing thing we've been called to be a part of. But, there's another but. There must be a zeal and a desire to want to live God's way of life, and this includes His holy Sabbath day. It includes His holy Sabbath day. God's special Sabbath day is a day that He set apart as holy. It is holy. We are to keep it. That's what it says. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. We just don't sit in here and attend. We keep it. I was talking to someone yesterday. I'm not going to mention their name. I don't want to embarrass them. But when we were talking, he said, you know, I used to just attend the Feast of Tabernacles. He says, now I keep it. Now I keep it. That's how we're supposed to treat God's Sabbath. We are to keep it. But the thing is, do we treat it like just any other day? Do we do our own pleasures on this day? Do we allow the things of this life to take away from the specialness and the sanctity of this day? Because this day is special. It is special, and if we are disregarding the Sabbath day as just another day, or just a day to relax, that's just not good. That isn't why God set it apart. We are the chosen people of God. We are the spiritual house of Israel. We are the church. We are the bride. We are the ones who will inherit the blessing of His rest, His kingdom. We can't treat the reminder of these things to come as ordinary. Because it is far from ordinary. It is far from ordinary. God has set it apart as holy, and if God makes something holy, it is not to be used for any other purpose. This day is a day to reflect on what He has delivered us from, the bondage of sin and the result of it. Deliverance from the ruler of this world and his horrid grip. Also, the invitation of eternal life from our Father to reign in His kingdom. We should use this day to praise our Father, to worship Him, and seek to learn more about our responsibilities and how we are to put them into practice today. That's right, to put them into practice today, we should be living what we're going to teach. And we're going to be teaching people how to keep the Sabbath. We are. It is also a day to reflect on what this world is going to receive. Rest, rejuvenation, and an amazing, amazing, amazing time. Israel forgot what was behind them, the bondage, suffering, and affliction, and they lacked the faith in what God had promised them. They lacked the faith in God's word. They did. His words are evidence of the unseen, and you can take God's words to the bank. He is faithful to deliver on His words, because His words are truth. They didn't see that. They didn't. They couldn't see it because of their lack of vision. Their disinterest, really, in God. So they did not inherit that rest, that type of kingdom, the promised land. We must never forget where we came from. We must never forget what we've been given, the privilege of knowing. The mystery of the kingdom has been revealed to us. It has. Our calling is amazing. The future that comes with it is, really, it's incomprehensible. The Sabbath day pictures these very things that are coming to pass. That's what it pictures. We stop one day out of seven to think about this and worship the one who made it possible. How amazing is that? So I guess I have a question. How excited do we get about that? How excited do we get about that? Well, guess what? The way that we keep the Sabbath is telling. It really is. You know how excited you get when you come to the feast? You prepare for the feast, you get ready for the feast. That's how it should be when we prepare for the Sabbath each and every week. It should be that important to us. We should want it that bad. So for the remainder of this message, I would like to leave you with four helps, practical applications that will help us all in directing our minds to remember the establishment of God's soon coming kingdom and our part in it. How to do that at the feast, but each and every Sabbath. The first one, it's simple. Stop working on the Sabbath. Really? Yes, we have to stop working. God says so. God stopped from all his labors. So must we. Since we do not have to work, guess what we have extra time to do? We have extra time to study, to pray. We have that extra time. And this is how our relationship with our Father increases and grows stronger. It really does. Family time. Time that we would normally have, that we wouldn't normally have, we get to spend it with our family and growing closer together. Growing closer together while growing closer to God. The second one, prepare for the Sabbath properly. We have to take the time to prepare for the Sabbath. Everything doesn't have to be done on the preparation day. We need to be winding down as the Sabbath is coming upon us. If we have to stay up late, other days, Thursdays, whatever we have to do or plan a little better, we should. It should be like us preparing to come to the feast. We stay up late, packing, finishing up the miscellaneous items. We want to make sure that everything's done before we need to leave. Everything has to be in order. Well, guess what? We know the Sabbath is coming each and every week, do we not? It's on the seventh day. It happens every 7 days. So we should do our best to try not to fall into the Sabbath. Things do come up, I understand that. But if they come up every week, I think we need to readjust our schedule. We need to look at it a little closer. It must be that important to us. You remember the 10 virgins? 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. It says all 10 of them went out with their lamps. They were lit. But 5 were foolish and didn't take any oil. They didn't prepare. We have to continue preparing our lives. We can't be the half that wasn't prepared, because when the bridegroom comes, what happens? The door's shut. 5 go in, 5 don't. 5 go out to start to prepare. The Sabbath is a great time to remind us of that. To prepare. To be prepared. The Sabbath, like I said, is very special to God. 3, make the Sabbath special, because it is special. Maybe we don't have the tithe to spend, and we're not supposed to, like we do at the feast, but we can still do things that are special. You really can. Special meal together with your family. Maybe a widow that doesn't have any family. Have them over. Include your kids. Have them make a special dessert. Do something like that. And have a toast to the kingdom. This is one that I probably need to work on. I know I need to work on. I do know I need to work on. Pick your wife up some flowers. And I guarantee you, you'll see a lady out here, very beautiful lady, shaking her head like this. That's my wife right over there. But yes, we need to do something to show our spouse that we love them. Because family is what it's all about. That's what this kingdom is going to be all about. God's amazing family. And there's time to do things that are special together that we don't get to do during the week. Family prayer and things like that. Then we have the Friday Night Live every third Sabbath of the month. There's always that. There's many things to learn. We can learn them as a family. And as the kids don't understand, they can ask mom and dad, because that's our job. Mom and Dad don't understand. Go ask somebody that might. The fourth one. Go to services. Seems simple, I know. Go to services. We're commanded to have a holy convocation. We are to worship God on this day, to sing praises to Him for all that He's done, all that He is doing, and all that He will do. And we need to hear those inspired words that God does inspire, and we're to learn from them. That way we can continue to build, continue to grow, continue becoming better lights to this world, because we are His people. We are that special people, His church. We cannot forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as it says in Hebrews 10:25. It says we should not forsake it, as is the manner of some. As is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And it says, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And the days are approaching. They are. When? We don't know. But you can look out on the world scene, and it doesn't look great. But it'll be in God's time. But we're to continue, it says, encouraging one another. You know what's interesting is that we will make sure that we are always at work. Why? We don't get a paycheck. Or we may get fired if we don't go to work. Well, if we don't show up to church, it doesn't matter. Right? It's no big deal. There's no effects of that. Thing is, you don't feel the effects right now. You don't. But if not repented of, it can cost us our eternal life. Being together is encouraging. It really is, especially if someone is having a very hard time. And being there at services, and we know that, just being here at the Feast of Tabernacles together, how encouraging it is to be able to feed off one another. We need it. We are spiritual brothers and sisters. We are family. We are. We need to be there to learn and to grow in our relationships with one another. And you know what? We're going to serve right beside each other. We're going to work with one another in God's kingdom. We need to get to know each other better today. There are so many other things that could be put on this list. That was just four. The Sabbath is a wonderful time. It should be a memorable time. It should be a growing time. It should be a day of thanksgiving and rejoicing every week. The Sabbath day represents a rest that mankind has not had the privilege of understanding. Not yet. Not yet. But we have. We have. How do we keep it? Remember, the way we keep it shows our zeal and our desire for God's soon coming kingdom. I'd like to end with Hebrews 4, right here. Hebrews 4, verse 11. Hebrews 4, verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to make that effort to enter that rest, that kingdom, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience, the Israelites. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows where our heart is. He knows our intents. And in verse 13 it says, and there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Enjoy the rest of the Sabbath, and enjoy the rest of the feast.